Larry, are you there? I guess Larry's gonna he's gonna talk about his pitch in just a little bit later. Do we have Mike on the air? I guess we don't have Mike on the air. Mike, maybe will join us in a little bit to talk about the Veterans and Piping Program. But right now I have in the office with me Amy, and far from the Veterans and Piping Program, which is a construction program for veterans, she does something different. She works in an office, and she's a professional. Amy, can you tell us what you do?
Hi, thanks for having me. So I am a business writer, and I essentially specialize in proposal development and management in the green sector. So I essentially write proposals to utility companies to get my consulting company new business.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. What kind of background do you have to get into a job like that?
Well, all of the people that work with me have very varied job backgrounds. And myself, I went to Portland State University, and I majored in psychology and pursued minors in business administration and professional writing. Now, at the time I was doing this, I had no idea where I was going to go career-wise, and I just kind of took classes that were of interest to me. And I really found myself gravitating toward the business side. So when I graduated, I had a friend who I went to school with refer me to this internship in the HR department for a consulting company. And I thought, hey, it's an internship. I have my degree now. I really was looking for a full-time job. But I thought about it for a little bit and realized that it would be a good entree into the working world since I had been a student for so long and hadn't really worked in an office before. So having this part-time position was a great way to get started.
Awesome.
So I worked in the HR department for a while and afterward was referred to the business development director for the company and started my main career that way and just worked my way up.
Well, that's fantastic. And so do you feel like your psychology major, business minor degree, do you feel like they played into that? Or somebody interested in a field like this, would you recommend a different major? Or can people come from any kind of background?
I think it can come from many different types of backgrounds. Certainly, the psychology has assisted me from the workplace dynamics aspect of things, just understanding different personalities, how people work together. But in terms of a writing-based job, the professional writing minor was a really important thing for me, just knowing how to communicate in the written form. So a lot of people have English backgrounds or something along those lines for my particular line of work.
Awesome. So, you know, when a lot of people ask me about what the most difficult thing I do day-to-day is, it's usually heavy lifting. It's very hard on the back. I lift very heavy pipes, equipment, tools, chain falls that I have to hang from great heights. What would you say is the most difficult thing that you do in your profession?
Really wrangling the different types of personalities. I work with people that are at the corporate, senior level, the executives. I have to work with some of the people that are on the delivery side, so they're under time pressure and wanting to do billable work rather than business development work. So we're trying to detract them from their day job in a lot of senses. So just knowing how to work with those different interpersonal dynamics and get everyone on the same team and working together. And my position requires me to be a project manager, essentially. So I have to make everyone be on the same page, and that can be a challenge.
Oh, I can only imagine. You know, I just absolutely love to hear stories where people start at the bottom and just work their way up. In fact, the new CEO of General Motors is a woman now, and she's been at the company for over 30 years, which I just find fantastic that they'll take somebody that's so familiar with the business and put them all the way at the high jobs, including and up to the very top. It's just awesome.
But
you started right at the very bottom. Did you ever have to go do anything super mean? Were you getting coffee? Were you doing the menial tasks like that?
No, not quite. I mean, there were probably a few times where my manager had me do some things that were a little not in my core job description. But that's more being on a team and helping each other out when someone's busy. Like, hey, can you run down and get something for me from the printer? But it's working in an office.
Right. No, that's awesome. So, you know, there's a fact that I'm very pro-labor, and I love it when people want to get into the construction trades. There's something very rewarding for me about working with my hands. At the end of the day, I can look back and, like, physically see what I've built, and that's just that's just heartwarming for me. I love it so much. But it's not for everyone. Not everybody loves working out in the cold and the elements. And so for someone looking to get into a career where they can work in an office or, you know, be a professional and move up to a very well-paying career, what kind of advice would you give those people that are seeking for that?
Well, I think that the first thing is you can prepare yourself through a degree. That's a good way to get started with many office type jobs. But that's not a requirement. It's certainly, if you have some transferable skills that you can bring in, then you can jump right in right away. But the main thing I would say is to think about what you really want your job to be. What are mm-hmm. the different components of it? It's not just a title and that will tell you everything, but really, how do you want to spend your day? Do you want to be interacting with people? Do you want to be spending your time mostly alone? How do you want that time to break out? And also to cultivate those transferable skills, and especially when it comes to communication and time management. I think those types of skills can go in many different fields. And communication is just so important, both in the written and the interpersonal form. And the better that you can communicate, the more opportunity you can present to yourself. Just as well, know that careers are a journey for you. If you have a dream, then you need to think about the steps that you need to take in order to get there. It's not mm-hmm. going to be getting your dream job right out of the gate when you have your degree or you're going for a career change.
Tell that to my brother.
Think about all of those different steps that you can take to prepare yourself for that job. If you need to have a certain certification, then look for ways that you can go do that. If you need to build your project management capability, then look for little opportunities with your current manager for how you can gain more responsibility and begin fostering those skills. And finally, keep in mind that relationships are really key. First, you spend so much time with your coworkers. They can become mm-hmm. a second family in a lot of ways.
Right.
So when you're looking for a job, don't just look for the position that seems really good on paper. Look for a team that you really want to be a part of. And if you can feel connected to those people, and if you can feel like you're contributing something positive to your company and really believe in the company mission, then that just makes your day job that much more enjoyable. And those paths with all of those coworkers cross in time. And mm-hmm. just know that you might be working with someone again in the future, and they can give you that stepping stone to that future that you want for yourself.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's so nice to have guests on here to talk about their jobs. You guys, labor encompasses so many things, and Labor Radio also encompasses so many things. And so I really like to plead out to you guys, if you feel as passionate about Labor Radio as I do, the time to call is right now, 877-500-5266. Call and donate anything that you can give. If it's $5, if it's $10, if you can put it on auto deduct from your checking account so that it's easier, you know, $5 a month, $10 a month, if everybody gave $5 a month, that would be enough to keep our lights on, that would be enough to keep the electricity on, that would be enough to keep all the utilities, keep the radio going. It's going to keep our show on the air. Please, it means so much to us. If you can do that, please call in 877-500-5266 and give anything that you can give. Next up, we have Mike to talk about the Veterans in Piping program. Mike, are you there?
I am.
Mike, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Oh man, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for being a part of the show tonight. You came in to the Plumbers and Steam Fitters, Local 290, right? And you came in through the Veterans in Piping program?
Correct.
All right. Well, can you tell us a little bit about the Veterans in Piping program? Maybe we have some veterans in the Portland area or family members of veterans that can get the word out. And maybe this is something that can change somebody's life that's out there. Tell us, what is Veterans in Piping?
Yeah, so the VIP program is Veterans in Piping. It's a program designed for military personnel getting ready to transition into the civilian life. It's approximately 18-week-long program full of welding. It's set to teach us a special skill for the piping industry. Mm-hmm. You don't need any prior welding experience to do this. I had absolutely none when I started out, and I can burn a rod for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a skill you really gain doing it for a long time. You know, hours into the day, you really gain it. So
that's awesome. And how did you find out about Veterans in Piping? How did you get involved with it?
I actually served with a few guys who went through the program, and they spoke pretty highly of it. They seemed to really enjoy it, and the time that they spent with the instructors there, they had a blast.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you came in through the Camp Pendleton, right? VOP is all over the country, and you came in through Camp Pendleton?
Sure did.
Awesome. So you were in the Marine Corps, and what did you do there?
I was. I was a diesel mechanic on LAVs, which are light armored vehicles, and I was also a shooting instructor for the Navy and Marine Corps side.
Oh, man, that's, I may even have met you during my time in the Navy. That's awesome. Those guys taught me how to shoot, too. So, well, that's cool. So you went through the VIP program, and then that was down in Camp Pendleton. That's by San Diego. How did you end up in Portland?
Portland, I'm actually from Washington, so Portland was an easy choice. It's close to home, family, friends, and I've got little ones, so it's a great place to raise your children as well.
Oh, man, that's awesome. How many little ones do you have?
I have three.
Oh, wow, that's great. And so you became a pipe fitter and a pipe fitter welder, and are you glad that you chose this career?
I am. It definitely has its ups and downs. It's great pay, great benefits, but along with that, there's a lot of work and a lot of hours. It'll definitely keep you away from your family a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's an excellent path to a hardworking career that really pays off in the end, so yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And so then after completing the VIP program and you came to Portland, you got entry into the apprenticeship, right? And can you tell us just a little about the apprenticeship? What are the responsibilities and requirements of being in an apprenticeship, and what's that like?
So you're going to serve a five-year-long apprenticeship program. Now, going through the VIP program, you will typically get off your welding portion, since the program is specifically about your welding. So they usually knock off a year and a half for that. You're going to be required to attend school 2 days a week, which isn't too bad. It's 2 hours a night. And then, you do your work just like an everyday job. You go in and you learn some new stuff. You meet some new guys, and it's really a good time. It's every day is usually different for me. So
that's awesome. That's what keeps work exciting for me, too. How many different job sites have you been dispatched to since you've been in?
I've really only been to two different job sites. I've been with the same contractor the last 2.5 years since I've been here, and they really seem to like me, so they've chosen to keep me, I guess. But I've worked with a lot of good guys who have taught me a lot of good stuff, and, just them passing along the knowledge, it's really helpful, and you really know that, they're out there to look out for you, so it's a good place to be.
Dude, that's so awesome. And so there's probably some people that are listening right now that are thinking, that's what I'd really like to do. I'd like to be a pipe fitter. I'd like to be involved in this program. And what kind of advice would you give people that are considering a career as a fitter, or even a veteran considering coming into the Veterans and Piping Program?
I would definitely say be motivated, be determined, be ready to learn and ready to work. You'll be busy and on the go. But you will meet some good people who will teach you some great stuff along your way. Always, always accept the help from others. Pass it along. Pass along that knowledge that you learn. Be a team player and always look out for yourself. Mm-hmm. And just enjoy it. Have fun.
Man, that's fantastic. It always makes me feel good to hear this story. In fact, you know that I came in through the Veterans and Piping Program as well, but I haven't had a chance ever on the air to tell my story. And I had a very similar experience. It's just been nothing but meeting great people on the job and from all over the world. We've got people working at Intel right now that are from California, Las Vegas. I mean, as far away as New Jersey, we've got people working out there. So it's really interesting, the people that you meet out there. But I also want to take this chance to say thank you for your service. People have said that to me before, and I wanted to say thank you. And thank you to the United Association for having the Veterans and Piping Program. I know that it can make a world of difference in people's lives. And thanks for the gift they've given us. Please, to them, to uphold their part of the bargain, too. And anyways, thanks a lot for calling in. Thanks for telling us your story, Mike.
Hey, thank you too.
All right, so I would like to now welcome Peter and Larry. Are you guys here?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, right here, Nick. This is Peter. I'm up next with Prison Pipeline, and I'm here tonight with Larry. I'm up here tonight with Larry, and we're talking to you a little bit about what rocks about KBOO. Now is the time to get involved if you haven't already. You know, we've heard on Labor Radio, we hear on Prison Pipeline, we hear voices for the disenfranchised, for the marginalized, for those who need someone to speak out. And this is the only place where you're going to get those voices from. You know, we're giving voices to the heavy lifters, as Nick was talking about. He does some hard work at his job, lifting heavy stuff every day, be it pipes, be it whatever else. And you know what? He's also having a conversation with a professional, bridging those gaps. You know, she's wrangling personalities is the toughest part of her job. And we need to support this kind of programming. Keep making it happen. I invite you to do that calling 877-500-5266, going online, kboo.fm, clicking on that tip jar in the top right-hand corner. Let's get some donations in here ASAP. Let us know that we're loved. Got something, Larry?
Yeah, I mean, where else do you have programs like this? I mean, basically nowhere. I mean, this is stuff that the mainstream media choose to ignore completely. They are not interested in the problems of blue-collar workers. They're not interested in the lives of families in prison. They're just not interested in covering that at all. They won't make a profit doing it, so they don't. So KBOO does it, and we are a tremendous resource to the people of Portland, and I hope you'll consider giving KBOO some support if you're able to. 877-500-5266, or go to our website at kboo.fm, and you can do it there too. Oh, by the way, we also want to thank a restaurant that has donated food to KBOO for its volunteers today who are working here at the Pledge Drive. Bamboo Grove at 515 Southwest Carolina Street was generous enough to donate some food, which we're grateful for. I'm donating my time, and we hope that some of you who are able to will donate some money and we'll bring it all together and give you this tremendous public resource, KBOO Radio.
You know, you can come down to the station, you can see our little joint down here, and you can give the membership the pitch in person. You can give us a call, 877-500-5266. Go online, kboo.fm. You know, we make it as easy as possible to make that good feeling donation that you want to make. It's our job to play, to speak, to do the things that the mainstream media corporations don't, you know, to be a part of the community that we serve, your community. Now it's time for you to be a part of this as well. Join us and come give a donation. We've got 6 full-time in staff here. You know, that takes something. We've got 500 volunteers, over 500 volunteers. We've got all these resources coming together. We've got 4,500 members, and we want you to become one of those, because we know there's 45,000 listeners out there. You know, there's a gap there. There's 4,500 people who are out there just listening, you know, who are ready to pick up the phone and call. Call, put some of our phone answerers to work over here. They're just kind of sitting around. They're ready to take your calls. They're excited to take your calls, and we're excited to hear from you. Come join us. We want you to be a part of us.
And we're very modest. We live on a bare bones budget, so we don't waste money here. And we are grateful with any donation. $5 a month, $10 a month, taken from your bank account, deducted from your bank account. We're grateful for that. Anything's fine, or a credit card, or you can call up and tell us you're going to send a check. Some people actually drop by the station and donate money, cash sometimes, if that's all they have. So yeah, we're grateful for whatever you can do. You are welcome to do any of the above.
That's exactly right. You know, come down here, give us a donation of $75, and we've got a maybe a membership gift. We've got a special interview with Pete Seeger on a USB flash drive. That's yours if you decide to make a gift of $75. But really, you know, it's not those thank you gifts that count. It's that warm feeling you get in your heart. It's that coming together as a community. It's that voices for the working class. It's that voices for those who've been incarcerated that you're not going to get anywhere else. Make that thing happen. Give us a call. 877-500-5266, KBOO.FM. Click on that tip jar in the top right-hand corner. We'd love to hear from you.
We would love to hear from you, so please consider giving us a call. 877-500-5266. Give us a call now.
We're counting on you. We want to see it made happen. If you find a lot of the sameness up and down the dial and you crave something unique, we're here for you. Give us a call.
All right, this is Labor Radio. You just heard that our membership drive pitch. I would also urge you guys, please, to donate. The number is 877-500-5266. It makes the world of difference to keep us on the air. Just a little bit ago, we were talking with Mike. He's a Marine Corps veteran. He got into a trade union, the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Union, and he came in through the Veterans and Piping Program. I forgot to ask him how you can get involved. So if you're curious, if you're a veteran, you want to get involved with this, go to the UA website. It's UA.org. It's super easy to find out. They've got a link right on there for veterans. You click on that page. It's going to have all the information that you need to get involved with that. Trade skill unions are a great way to go. We spoke with Amy just a little bit ago. She talked to us about the professional job that you can have in an office. That's a great way to go as well. But I'm telling you, there's something very satisfying about the trade skill union. Also, the Plumbers and Pipefitters Union is opening up for their apprenticeship right now at Local 290. If you're interested in that, go to their website, ua290.org. And they're going to be taking applications only in April. I think it's the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. There's very specific requirements. Check that out if you're interested. It's a great career. It's great training. It's one of the most satisfying careers that you can embark on. Go check that out if you're interested. If you've ever wanted to be a part of an apprenticeship, it's wonderful. You're not coming out $60,000 in debt like you are from college. You come out, you already got a career, you'll have no student debt, and you'll have a trade skill that you can use for the rest of your life. It's really made the difference for me, and it's made a difference for a lot of people. So I'd urge you, if you're curious, check that out as well. One of the interesting things, in addition to working on the job and lifting heavy pipe all the time, I've become involved with negotiations for a contract. It's been super fascinating to me. There's so many legalities that are concerned with it. You don't just go, it's not like when you go to the bazaar and you're going to buy something and you barter back and forth to get someone down. There's a lot of good faith laws. There's laws from the NLRB that are involved. It's very, very fascinating stuff. And if you've ever been on a negotiating committee, you've probably found that your employer has talked to you about the Consumer Price Index, and they can use this to justify not giving you a large raise. They'll say, well, the price of goods has only come up, you know, 1.2% last year, or 1.5% last year, or maybe over the last several years it only came up, you know, 2% altogether. Someone forwarded me a very interesting article just the other day about the Consumer Price Index. I had no idea how it works. And so what they do is they look at several different items, household items that you purchase all the time, right? Anything that you need in your house. Well, one of the things that inflation most affects is food and energy. And these two things are not included in the Consumer Price Index. So they include a lot of things that are unnecessary that you can go without buying. And because of that, the prices do stay low. For example, the CPI jumped 0.2% in February. But if you include food and energy prices in that, it jumped 0.7%. So that's a big increase. And so this article says that what they've listed to us as inflation or the Consumer Price Index may actually be 2 to 4 times higher than that. And so I found this article that was forwarded to me is from the editor John Malden from maldeneconomics.com. Check that out if you're interested in finding out more about it, because if your employer or whoever you're negotiating with is trying to tell you that they can't afford a bigger raise and that with your cost of living, maybe they can only give you 0.2% raise this year, if anything at all, then check this out because there's a lot more information to that picture. And anyways, thank you all for listening to Labor Radio. And I'd like to urge you one more time. We need the money to keep the lights on. We've got a small staff on hand. We've got the light bills and electricity to pay. All of our bills are paid by your donations. And the programming that we have here, Labor Radio, Prison Pipeline, there's a lot of other shows. I know you love them as much as I do. And there is an expense with that. We don't waste any of the money. There's no frivolous expenses. It's just the amount that we need to stay going on the air. And I know you appreciate this option. I know you appreciate community radio. I know you appreciate KBOO. Please call in 877-500-5266 or go to KBOO.FM and click on the tip jar. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great night, everyone.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
Are we asking enough regular, ordinary Black Portlanders what do they want here in the city of Portland? Listen to the word on the streets from Black Portlanders around the city give commentary about their experiences growing up in Portland or making Portland their home and building new opportunities in a two-part special programming series called Ear to the Streets of Portland, What Do the Regular Citizens Want? That's Thursday, February 20th and 27th at 7 o'clock p.m. There's a strong history when it comes to the African Americans of Portland, and hear what actions people want for changes towards prosperity, stronger communities, and what it's going to take to heal from past pains. That's Thursday, February 20th and 27th at 7 o'clock p.m. right here on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM, and online at kboo.fm.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Prison Pipeline on KBOO-FM, or KBOO 90.7 FM, here in the Portland, Oregon area. I'm your host, Peter Pincel, and tonight I'm sitting down with George from New Life Transitions. They do transition housing for those who've been involved in the justice system and offer a path to recovery for those who've been involved with substance abuse in the past. George, before I take too much of your time, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit for myself and for the audience?
Well, as Peter said, my name is George. I'm the founder and director of New Life Transitions. And I want to say that, first of all, it's not all about me or what I've done. It's I've had plenty of guys that have helped me start this business, and we've kind of grown it together.
Great. And so tell us who, what, when, where, why, and how of New Life Transitions.
I'll try to keep this brief. It started a couple of years ago. I myself had some run-ins with the justice system. I was incarcerated myself. And when I got out, I realized all the obstacles that I had to overcome. And I did not want to be a burden on society. I didn't want to take a handout. I decided to get busy and try to make things go for myself.
Okay, great. So, New Life Transitions, housing recovery? What is the day to day?
Well, a lot of times we get guys that are contacting us as they're still incarcerated. We have some folks that go in through prison fellowship, and we try to find those guys and gals that have really made a decision to change. They're not looking for a free handout. They're not looking for a free bed. They want to rebuild their lives. We're looking for the guys and gals that have made a mistake. This is not a way of life for them. And we help them, when they get out, we help them reestablish their life, pick up the pieces, and move on. One of the things I want to say real quick is, in reference to a car, there's a reason why the rearview mirror is small compared to the windshield. If you live your life looking in the rearview mirror, if you drive your car looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to run into what's right in front of you. You're going to crash. And this is the way of life for so many people that have gotten into the cycle of the justice system. It's a revolving cycle.
It's a metaphor from George. Now, so there are 5 locations, a number of beds.
We have four locations. One of them is a triplex. We have approximately 45 beds. Always looking to expand in the process of that, hopefully. And as we expand, I'm going to be taking a different role here pretty soon.
So you offer clean and sober housing, clean and sober beds, a path to recovery, a path out of the justice system. What is the mission of New Life Transitions? Tell me a little bit about that.
The mission is to help everybody that just needs that hand. They want to change, and they don't know how. For me, there was a life-altering incident in my life. It was a medical issue with my heart that made me realize that my value as a human being wasn't based on the label on my clothing or the badge on the back of my car. And if I would have died there at the Veterans Hospital in Portland, Oregon, what would my legacy have been? Would I have really mattered? Would I have made a difference in society? And the answer would have been no. So I wanted to make a change. And it's based on, without getting religious or anything, but my desire is based on Matthew 25, and that is just to help others.
A passage from the Bible. So in the day-to-day of running transition housing, I